This is Brainwave.
Teachers who were teaching in the 1980s can remember when the first personal computers appeared in the schools. At first, it may have been an Apple II in the faculty workroom. Later, there were IBM clones, computers that used the DOS operating system, finding their way onto teachers' desks. Before school computers were networked, and before the internet connected school networks to the world, these computers were isolated, standalone machines, used primarily for typing and printing documents. At that time, after perhaps WordPerfect, the most popular computer software applications among teachers were PrintShop and PrintMaster. Both of these programs were designed to help the user lay out and print some basic printed forms, using a small handful of fonts and a limited collection of simple clip art. PrintMaster had preset options to create rudimentary greeting cards, signs, stationery, calendars, and banners. The ever-popular banner layout would print sideways on multiple sheets of the old dot matrix printer paper that came in one long fan-folded sheet. Often the black and white printouts from these programs were colored by hand with markers or colored pencils to brighten them up and make them more festive. The greatest strength of these programs is that they were fun to use. I believe the thing that made them fun is that they allowed the user to be creative, but that with their limited options, they were still simple to use. Teachers have much more powerful software options now, and color printing means we don't have to color our printouts by hand anymore. But it seems to me that few teachers print out custom calendars and stationery anymore, and I haven't seen one of those multi-page banners for a long time. Are teachers using technology for creative purposes less often than they used to? Has the increasing sophistication and complication of our software taken all the fun out of using the computer as a creative tool? I'm Brian Ferguson, and this is Brainwave, a place to tell stories and explore ideas. Teachers are busy people. They have immediate problems with inflexible deadlines. When the bell rings, the kids come into the room whether or not the teacher is ready. Here in Utah, it is common for a secondary teacher to have over 200 students. If they are to adopt any new technology, it is because that technology solves a problem for them. It makes their job easier and or helps them to do their job better. Some teachers have adopted PowerPoint as a teaching tool. With its built-in slide layouts, wide selection of free design templates, and click-in-the-box-and-type interface, PowerPoint is almost as easy to use as PrintMaster was. So, why has it attracted fewer teacher users? The reason is that PowerPoint has a more complicated technology component. When you got your PrintMaster printout, the teacher could either color it or run off multiple copies for the students. Teachers have long known how to color or to run off copies. When you have finished your PowerPoint presentation, however, you must then figure out how to present it to the class. At first, we connected our computers to a classroom TV. This required a VGA to NTSC converter box, another power plug, and some connecting cables. On older TVs, we had to connect the computer to the converter box, then connect the converter box to a VCR, which was then connected to the TV. And if the VCR was set to the wrong input or output channel, the setup would not work. Discouraging for many? Yes. Nowadays, it is a bit simpler to set things up if you happen to have a digital projector. But that, of course, is more expensive than a TV and a VCR. And I haven't even mentioned how to get sound out of this setup. When trying to encourage teachers to make greater use of technology, I generally find myself encouraging them to set up a website. A teacher website is a great place to store and distribute all kinds of information to students and their parents, from course disclosures to class handouts to PowerPoint presentations. The typical response I receive is, "I don't have time to learn how to make a website." Interestingly, they don't generally say that they don't have time to make a website. They say they don't have time to learn how to make a website. I draw two conclusions from this. First, I believe teachers instinctively know that having a website would help them communicate better with students and parents. I believe many of them would find the time to create a website if they only knew how. Second, many teachers are still insecure about their technological skills. They assume that creating a website is an arcane, mysterious skill far removed from anything they already know how to do. This is unnecessary. Most of those same teachers use word processing, email, and an electronic gradebook every single day. Truth be told, creating a basic web page is not much different than the word processing skills they already have. The problem is one of perception and priority. Learning any new skill requires an investment of time and effort. The advantages of having a teacher website, however, are tremendous. Electronic media is more immediate, flexible, and far-reaching than print media. And sending a file from your computer to your web server with one or two clicks of the mouse is much faster than printing it out and walking down to the teacher workroom and running off 200 copies. I suspect the key to promoting more frequent use of technology by teachers is to show them that learning a new technology skill can be both easy and fun. Of course, I am probably preaching to the choir here. If you are a teacher listening to this podcast, you are likely quite advanced in your use of information technology and possibly already have your own website and/or blog. If you are a school librarian or a technology specialist, perhaps you share my goal and frustration of trying to encourage more teachers to use the tools of technology to improve their teaching practice. If you would like to share any of your ideas or experiences, I would love to hear from you. My email is brian@bibliotech.us. That's brian@bibliotech.us. Or you can leave a comment on the Brainwave blog at brainwave.bibliotech.us. This is Brian Ferguson reminding you that if life doesn't have you totally amazed, you aren't fully awake.
You have been listening to Brainwave.